He pioneered Jets blogging and podcasting. He brought smiles to the faces of Jets fans all over the world. He was there through the good and bad. And then, one day, he vanished. People far and wide wondered, where has he gone? When will he return? Thankfully, the answer is now. The OG of Jets podcasting and vlogging is back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
This is There's Always Next Year with Brian Bassett.
I'm back. The real me. Let's not make a whole thing of it.
And his co-hosts, Chef Travis Milton.
Today we're going to be making the students my tasty baked ziti with basil and fresh mozzarella.
And Josh Conrad.
Oh, my brother, testify.
On Turn on the Jets Digital.
Welcome back to There's Always Next Year. I'm your host, Brian Bassett. You can follow me on Twitter at Brian_Bassett. And with me, as always, are my boys, Josh Conrad, who you can find on Twitter at Josh_Conrad, and Travis Milton, who you can follow over at -37board27. Travis, any more interactions with marginal pizza establishments this past week?
No, I've shied away from all fast food this past week. So nobody got hurt. Nobody, all the crazy bread buyers are safe.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I mean, yeah, here's what I will say is yesterday, my children, I was exhausted and didn't want to cook dinner. And we ordered Papa John's because that's what children want. Children want Papa John's pizza. When you could have good New York style quality pizza. Yeah, they're not interested. They just want Papa John's. I did have some cheese bread, which I'm guessing is similar to crazy bread. That stuff's amazing. Holy moly, that's good. I like that.
I haven't had Papa John's in a long time.
Well,
so I don't know what they've got there, but
yeah, it's still
probably better than Little Caesars.
It's still not, I don't consider it real pizza. But anyway, lots going on. The Jets lost yesterday to the Arizona Cardinals at home, dropping to 0-5. There's been a lot of news this past week in the world of football. We've had more postponements of NFL games due to coronavirus. But some of the biggest stories, of course, are the Monday morning firing of both Atlanta coach Dan Quinn and the general manager Thomas Dimitroff. Dimitroff, of course, came out of the Belichick school. He had spent time in New England helping out there. And Dan Quinn, former Jets coach who many pined for, but who has basically had a very terrible record since Kyle Shanahan left the organization to take on his own head coaching job. And then that, of course, followed the firing of Bill O'Brien earlier in the week from the Houston Texans. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this news report from Adam Schefter, but Houston, the McNair family, has hired Jed Hughes from an organization called Corn Ferry. Does this name ring a bell to either of you gentlemen?
I think I recall that name.
Okay. Is it something to do with the hiring of one John Idzik?
Idzik. Yep.
I did a lot of counseling to remember to forget the name Jed Hughes, but now I'm going to have to spend thousands of more dollars to this podcast.
Josh, you can help us, because isn't there a phrase that like rain falls on the just and unjust alike? Isn't that in the Bible somewhere? I feel like that's in the Bible.
That's somewhere in there, yeah.
Okay. So I see, I was like, Jed Hughes, like he did such a bad job. I was like, okay, and he gets another, you know, whatever, turn of the crank here for another NFL organization. And then I was like, let me just see, does this dude have like social media accounts? And lo and behold, he does, Josh. He has a Twitter account. He has a podcast. Jed Hughes has a podcast for Corn Ferry, and he gets to talk to people like Tony Dungy and like, you know, other luminary kind of people. And that's what that guy gets in his life. So explain to me how the three of us are here crying 7 years after he quote unquote helped our organization, and he's off, you know, doing what he's doing, talking to Tony Dungy and helping the Houston Texans find their new head coach and GM. Explain how that phrase, the rain falling on the just and unjust, how does that apply here? Because I know it's supposed to apply, but I need some help.
Yeah, so Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father who is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. This is the word of the Lord. Yeah, there is a lot to be said for where we are headed as podcast buddies, in the fact that we will someday, boys, be a consulting firm and hire potentially the next Jets GM, maybe 10 years from now. It might take us some time, but hey, Tony Dungy, if you're listening, we would love to get you on just so we can have a resume that we can put together and present to the Johnson family and maybe get this organization, this franchise out of the dumpster.
Yeah. Travis, any word to Houston, the city of Houston, Texans fans about this move that they've made?
I don't know, man. I'm still pissed at the town of Houston. As a Dodgers fan, I don't wish any good on their sports franchises. I'm still nice pissed. Thing.
Wow. That is strong. That's strong.
They can take Jed Hughes.
They deserve
new Astros speaking coach of garbage for him cans, too. Like, get rid of Dusty
speaking
Baker.
Of garbage cans. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
go pound on a garbage can, Houston fans.
There you go.
Hey, so you're leaving them to their own devices. You're fine. There's natural causes, and you're fine with Houston having this as an effect of the natural causes of their
the rain
of their
falls
own
on
choices.
The just and the unjust, my friend.
Okay. Exactly. That's okay. What I'm taking out of it. The unjust brought this rain down to Houston right now.
That's right. All right. So here's what I have to ask is, so I've started calling Chris and Woody Johnson Prestige Worldwide. I just refer to them as Prestige Worldwide. Now that's all I'm going to do going forward.
Research, security.
I wish I knew the other things that they did. I don't know. Prestige.
Remember the
Worldwide
photo? Like the research photo is him like over like a microscope looking at a slide of like, you know, bacteria. That's what I need in my Prestige Worldwide organization.
Yes. So Prestige Worldwide, when will Prestige Worldwide actually fire Adam Gase? Is it going to happen before the end of the season? Because I mean, we've already got teams losing, or are they worried that if they fire him, they might actually get better and therefore win some games, and then they're out of the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes? Are they just like, if it ain't, you know, it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, we're already 0-5. The only way to get to 0-16 is just don't fix it.
I would give Prestige Worldwide $20 if they told me what school Trevor Lawrence goes to.
They might.
I don't think they have a clue.
They don't have a clue. I don't. Do you have any thoughts on this? Or are we just gonna watch other organizations fire their coach, Travis, and just sit idly by?
I think it's exactly what's gonna happen. And I don't think it's out of any kind of smarts, any kind of plan towards something better. I think in their minds it is. I think they're like, okay, let's keep some continuity. And continuity for the sake of continuity is bullshit if it's just a bunch of crap, and that's what they're doing right now. No, like, I don't know. I really, really hope that he's gone before the end of the year. I just don't think it's going to happen at all.
Just as vindication, right? Like, we know he's gone at the end of the year, but, like, to essentially fire him mid-season is just vindication and kind of one more mark against him in that, like, he leaves in ignominy, right? And this idea that we are vindicated in our, we knew this guy was terrible from the beginning, but right then, from the case of Prestige Worldwide, in their case, they're like, yeah, you guys were right and we got it wrong. And it kind of admits, you know, mid-season that, you know, that this was a mistake. And so I think there's a pure like pride play happening here, which is kind of why they're digging in their heels on this, which is fine. So we'll see. There was also a report. So were you going to say something, Josh?
No, I'm okay. Saying nothing.
There was also a report that Rich Simini came out with, I don't know if you saw this, kind of leading up to the pregame, that from his, was it, I think it was Simini who reported it, or no, it was Adam Schefter, that that the Jets would not get a first round pick at this point for Sam Darnold. Now there's, you know, plenty of football left to play, but if they were to trade him next year, that, you know, the word on the street is GMs would not give a first round pick for that guy. Any thoughts on that? Just
The timing, right? It's always about the timing of things like this. And so this means that the Jets brass, known as Prestige Worldwide, they're okaying rumor circulation and letting some stuff leak to the press to maybe drive up Sam's value, or that they're already thinking about this and throwing out these test balloons. And that's the stuff that's just like, the timing of it is the frustrating point. You know, like none of this seems like it's actually even for the health of the team. It doesn't seem like they're wanting to turn the organization around. It just seems like they want to, just kind of control timing and make themselves look like, you know, let's try to get some value for this guy, but there's not value there. And then some team's going to fly in and, you know, give them the value that they're looking for. It's just all none of it actually. I mean, much like Adam Gase practice talk, which I know we're going to get to, it just doesn't matter. Like it's just the crappy sideshow stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. Any thoughts about that? That basically Adam Gase has ground Sam Darnold's value, you know, into less than a first round pick at this point, Travis?
I mean, I think it's a much more widespread thing than that. It's very indicative of what's going on. But, you know, I think one of the biggest things is you know, not firing Adam Gase and what's going on with Darnold's development. Who the hell is going to want to sign with this team? Like, they are legitimately you know, last year, it looked like Miami was tanking, but they still won a couple games. Like, if you want to see, like, a true tank, like, we are going, like, Pittsburgh Pirates, like, epic. Like, we are just driving down the value of every player on the team, every coach, everything about the team. And it's very, very perplexing because it's taking it almost too far, I feel like. And, yeah, we're not going to get anything from Darnold. And to be honest, like, I don't think that he's worth anything over maybe a third round pick with the way his development has gone and regressed this past year. So I definitely agree with that.
And it's, I'm not trying to say Darnold is or isn't worth things. I don't know if you guys play dynasty, like fantasy dynasty football, but you know, the idea there is that you get a player, you hold them for, you know, an extended period of time, and that you try and, you know, use market hype and market cycles and when they're productive and when they're not to, you know, flip players for higher value or, you know, kind of sell before it's too late kind of things. And right. So we're in a phase right now where, based on his play, based on what he's done, the resume that he's put together, you know, on the field in his now third year in the NFL, like no general manager is going to go out of their way to give a first round pick for a player that hasn't proven it. Now, right, put him in a different organization, it could be a totally different result. We've seen that, you know, time and time again with NFL quarterbacks. And we saw that with Drew Brees, was, I believe, a second round pick, but you know, it wasn't until his second franchise that he really became the player that we know him to be now. These cycles repeat themselves all over, but right. If you're going to sell now, you're not going to recoup the value that you put into him. And that's just how these things go. But so it's not surprising, but it was validating to know that this value of this player has effectively been driven down by this coach, that there's no other way to read it. Just based on the team that they've put around him and the ways they've used him. And right. And now we've got an injury to him. He's not the only player that's been injured. You have Darnold, who's been injured, Mekhi Becton, who's been injured, Le'Veon Bell, who's been injured, and basically put back into harm's way to one degree or another by this head coach. And so, like, cycling back to Prestige Worldwide and, like, just their blindness to what's happening here, that's one of my big problems with this is, okay, not only the incompetence, but these are valuable pieces that will be on this team in future years. And you've got a coach who's effectively putting them at risk in a season that's already forfeited. You know, and so, like, I just, and not only is this team 0-5, but you've got, you know, swirling pandemic issues that are going to, you know, bite lots of teams before this season is over. And, you know, cause more postponements and all that sort of thing. So I look at this and I just, you know, you got to look towards next year. And I don't see how Gase is the person who's going to, let's say, create value from the current assets that you have, and you're going to keep going forward. And just end it and move on and bring in someone who will, or at least can not damage this organization further. All right. We have to talk about practice. Travis, I think you mentioned there a minute ago about practice. So when coaches start talking about practice, like, I fully believe that's like the last bastion of like shitty coaches. Like, so here's some quotes as collected by SNY and others from Adam Gase's press conference after the game. The idea of the article was that was kind of put forward was, what did Adam Gase have to say after the game to fans about this team. So here's what Adam Gase had to say about to fans. So, quote, if you watch these guys practice, you watch how these guys go through the week and the effort and how these guys are trying to get all this stuff right and figure out a way to correct the mistakes that are made. And I mean, if you were there day in and day out and saw how these guys practiced last week, you wouldn't know what our record was. Gase said, continued quote, Wednesday and Thursday, those guys, they came out and, I mean, it was max effort. They were flying around. They competed. The execution was really good. Friday, not practicing Friday, aside here, as we know, because of the coronavirus scare from the team, kind of took the wind out of our sails. But I thought they did a good job Saturday when they came in and we kind of extended the day and tried to make up for all that stuff through walkthroughs and going through practice the day before Thursday. I guess it's just what I see at practice. The result, it just doesn't match up. Thoughts?
That sounds like a complete and utter coaching issue.
Thank you. Thank you.
Completely and utterly. That's definitively a coaching issue.
Right. Okay, Josh, you have two little twins, cute twins, and you have them around the house, and I'm sure you take them out and about, maybe less now than you would have in different times. But I'm not saying kids don't misbehave or do bad things, but by and large, like, when you take them out of the place and you take them into a space, a public space, like, you're expecting that they're going to hopefully behave, and if not behave, at least listen to you, right? Or kind of, and I know that they're still at a point where they're irrational, but my point here is, like, what I expect at home, I expect to see on the road too, right? Like, if anything, we need to be tighter out of the house than we are in the house. I let the kids have more freedom and be more loose here. But right, if we're out in a restaurant, not these days, but if we're out in a restaurant or in a public space, like, I want to make sure that they're being respectful of other people around us, right? And so like, that's the only thing I can liken this to as a parent is like, it's like he's a parent, right? Just think of him as a parent, and you're out in public and these kids are just going all over the place and acting crazy and whatever. And as a parent, he's saying, like, but what I see at home, like, the results, they just don't match up here. It's like, because you're an idiot. That's why they don't match up here, because you're not doing your job. Because your job is to make sure that they're still doing their job, even when they're out and about. Maybe you need to be even more vigilant than when they're in practice. Remember, because when you're in practice, you're practicing against air. You're not smashing and slobber knocking each other in practice against your own team. So all the effort, all the flying around and stuff that they're doing on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, but it can't be Friday, it had to be Saturday, like, does not matter. Like, who cares? Like, the results are the results. Like, we talking about practice. Like, we talking about practice. Like, to me, when coaches talk about practice, it is like the last death knell before they know that they're fired. Like, I don't know what else to say here. It's just like, he's always been an idiot, and now he's, surprised by their behavior.
I'm standing outside Pepe's or Sally's on Worcester Street here in New Haven as the restaurant has burned to the ground because my boys were running around with flamethrowers and me explaining to the police officer taking my statement and saying, man, if you watch these guys at home, you watch how these guys go through the week and all the effort and how these kids are trying to get all this stuff right, figure out a way to correct the mistakes that are made. I mean, if you were there at our house day in and day out and saw how they practice, you wouldn't know that what our record was.
You wouldn't. Yeah, you wouldn't. I mean, they never burned down my house at my house. Yeah.
And listen, this is not comparing professional athletes to petulant children by any means. This is saying, as a father, as the coach of my home, I can't tell the police officer, listen, this week it was max effort. They were flying around. They competed. The execution was really good. But I'm sorry that they burned down the restaurant because I have no idea what to do with them in public.
Right, right, right. It just boggles my mind. And just, you know, the fact that it's like, well, maybe it's the fact that, number one, their coach is getting them to the line of scrimmage, you know, with 28 seconds and snapping the ball, you know, routinely after a first down, a big first down, with anywhere between 18 and 24 seconds on the clock every time. And we're running it down every play and just, you know, lagging and lagging and lagging. And, you know, oh, and the fact that they have like super talented players at certain positions, you know, and so it just, the fact that he thinks that that is a acceptable answer to the question it boggles my mind. Clearly it boggles my mind. And just the fact that he said, like, he couldn't just take it on the chin and just be like, you know what, this is my fault. For all of Rex Ryan's fault, Wolverine staring, crying at the picture of Rex Ryan, for all Rex Ryan's fault, at least he stood out there and said, you know what, that's on me. They were practicing well this week. I let off the gas, and you know what? I didn't push them enough during the game, or, you know, was not vigilant enough in kind of, you know, what I required of them in game. Like, for all of Rex Ryan's many, many, many faults, he never did that where he just was like, I don't know, they just burned down the restaurant and I'm just real disappointed in their behavior. Right. So let's talk, any other thoughts there on
I mean, when you're practicing shit plays and shit game plans, right, against nothing, practice probably was great. And they probably showed up and did exactly what they did at practice.
Right.
I mean, it's mind boggling that he can't put two and two together.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Okay. Let me ask. What is our This Week in Adam Gase? Aside from his practice talk, what was the This Week in Adam Gase moment?
To me, and I know I sent the tweet to you guys, the podfather himself, Joe Caparoso, tweeted talking about how for weeks now, Gase has said they got to get Lev Bell more involved in the passing game, and Lev gets one attempt. Gets one target this week, and then I believe one Jeffrey Smith had 11. And the best part is Lev Bell just liking the tweet. And so he just liked the fact that, hey, my coach is an idiot. I can't publicly blast him if I want to stay employed in this league. But liking the Joe Caparoso was actually my This Week in Adam Gase, because – Joe sees more like of how ridiculous this is than Adam does. Why is Jeff Smith getting 11 targets and Lev is getting one? I can't anymore. I can't do it.
You can't do it anymore. All right. What was your? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. What was your This Week in Adam fucking Gase, Travis?
I was right there with Josh, but I'll take it one step further in that. Le'Veon Bell had as many targets and as many catches as one Trayvon Wesley, who has never caught a pass since being drafted by us 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That was – I mean, that was I'm sure Trayvon Wesley is a good person, has a good heart and good player. And I know Brian Baldinger thinks the world of him for some reason. But – when they drafted him, I just did not understand that. It made no sense to me whatsoever. And so, yeah, to see him get a catch yesterday was great. But then to double down after his catch with their 3rd-and-1, and who gets the ball but a 6'3", 267-pound, you know, high center of gravity player to get that extra 1 yard, who then does nothing.
Oh yeah.
And again, you know, they're going into the half. They're only scoring by, I think it was a score, maybe two at that point. But you know, it's before the half. They need those points to stay in the game, for to stay competitive. And then so you're 4th and 1 and you give it to Frank Gore, who doesn't get it. And so they turn the ball over. And it just at this point, I was watching the game, and I just was like, you can't hurt me anymore. Like, this is it. Like, you know, at this point, like, I am completely numb to everything this organization can try and throw at me. And I have built up my armor against this organization. And I 3rd and 1, and I saw the Trevon Wesco thing. I was like, they're never getting the 4th down. They'll never get the 4th down. And there it goes. That was it for me. That was my moment. I don't understand why. It reminds me of like young Brian Schottenheimer when he was like, he would outthink the other person, but just outthink himself, right? It's like, the guy in The Princess Bride, Vizzini, right? He winds up outthinking himself in the movie. So it's like, that's what Brian Schottenheimer did when he was with the Jets and Mangini and Rex Ryan too, for that matter. And still now, right? I mean, he's still throttling. I know, you know, let Russ cook is what everybody talks about, but I mean, you look at Russ's pass attempts at the end of the day, it's not like Russ is actually cooking, even though he's playing out of his gourd and should be the MVP. So I just, you know, a Wesco run on 3rd and 1 is like, yep, of course. Of course, that is exactly what Adam Gase, a.k.a. New Schottenheimer, would do. I don't know. Any thoughts on that play in that series? I just talked for 4 minutes or whatever.
Inconceivable. Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
I can just picture Adam Gase on the sidelines when these plays don't work going, this is inconceivable. And
right.
Le'Veon Bell just doing the classic, I do not think that word means what you think it means.
I mean, right. So this team can't hurt me anymore, right? As I just said. But are there other things we need to talk about? I mean, Jameson Crowder had a hell of a game. Jeff sure Smith did. Had 11 targets in that game. Sure but did. I mean, were there any bright spots for you in the midst of this that you're going to hold on to this week?
You know, it's nice to see Chris Herndon being somewhat involved. I mean, 3 targets is more than mm-hmm. no targets. And, you know, what was maybe a promising start of this season, him healthy, not suspended, him and Sam together. It is nice to see him starting to make some box scores. Obviously, game script is going to dictate how much he gets to be involved going forward. But Chris Herndon played, which – I might be the last person on Chris Herndon Island, but I will stay on this island until the waters overtake us. I am staunchly a Chris Herndon fan, so happy to see him play, if nothing else.
Travis.
Jameson Crowder is about it for me. I mean, I'm kind of like you in watching these games now and getting to a really sad point of almost indifference and of just the sheer just terrible product you're putting out. God, it's just so bad.
Go ahead.
The bright spots are just so few and far between. But I mean, Jameson Crowder, like, kudos to him, man. He shows up every freaking week on a terrible, terrible football team and does everything that he can. He's the only receiver getting separation. He's the only receiver out there, you know, catching balls across the middle, taking hits. And I think every game that he's played this year, he's put up over 100 yards receiving, and the guy's not built to be 100, like a number one wideout.
180. He's got Buck 80 or something.
Yeah,
he's
not a big dude. The dude is making it happen out there and putting it, you know, leaving it all out on the field, and I got a lot of respect for that. And he's probably been my bright spot this season, and probably will be, from what I see, the only one to continue to be a bright spot.
Mm. Yeah, so the Jets have him on contract for another year. One would think that he might be a cap casualty, sadly, because he's scheduled to make about $11 million. 10 of it, 10 and a half of it, which are could be cap savings if the team wants. But I mean, I don't know exactly what they'll do with him, but he, yes, to your point, I think he's been a helpful player to this organization. And so giving that guy $10 million, like to keep him on the team next year, just to, you know, help contribute. I think that's, I'm on board for that. I doubt the organization will be. Maybe they'll try and find a way to spread it out or give him a longer contract or something. But yeah, I have been waiting. We're now 6 weeks in. Yeah, 6 weeks into the season. And I want to see him play with Denzel Mims, because I think the two of them together could be electric, where you've got Denzel Mims who can, you know, bully and play on the outside as kind of your prototypical alpha receiver. And then you've got Jameson Crowder who you can play out of the slot. And right, he's a very durable slot player. As you said, he's 5'8", 185 pounds. You know, he's kind of at the height of his powers as a 27-year-old receiver. He's got that. He's like a smaller version of Robert Woods is probably a good way to say it, right? So, so yeah, like I want to see those two guys play together before the end of the season. And so I hope that that actually comes to pass. But you know, who knows with the way the organization is going. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I think, yeah, as we were talking about just being numb by this organization, like it's gotten to the point where like I used to really care about like, you know what, I got need to make sure I watch the games and I have Game Pass and, you know, I'm like, you know, paying for all this stuff and whatever. And, you know, a friend over the summer is like, hey, you know, there's all these like streaming things like that these Reddit people use just to like watch the game for free. And I was like, oh, really? And so like I used to be care very much about making sure I was, you know, copyright compliant and yada yada and the whole thing. And now I'm just like, I don't care. Like I'm not going to give this organization any more money. I don't know how to do it. So like the only way I can do that effectively is to just watch pirated services to watch these games. And because it's the only way I can essentially like, what is it? Have a protest vote against what this organization is doing. It's like, I'm watching the games, I'm consuming them, but they're getting zero revenue out of it. So that's my silent protest. My civil disobedience is streaming services. So I say to all you Jets fans, if you're paying for stuff, if you're paying for content, throw it off, go find the streaming services and watch that way and let that be your protest. I know I just condoned pirating and copyright infringement. So I'm sure the FBI is knocking at my door as we speak. Any parting words before I'm taken away to federal prison, guys?
Oh man. Thank you, Reddit, for keeping Brian connected to this hellscape of a football franchise. Yeah, my silent protest was joining with the dozens of others. There are dozens of us unfollowing the Jets on Twitter to get them under a million.
That's amazing. I'm in. I'm doing it right now. I love
it. Just unfollow them to let them know I'm disgusted with them.
I love it. There was a time where Woody Johnson followed me on Twitter. That time is now over. That time is now over.
You read three tweets and left.
Yeah. 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 Any thoughts? Any thoughts there, Travis?
This is the first year I haven't bought a jersey in going on 20 yeah. some odd years, and there's no reason for me to. I'm hungover too. Like I'm pretty sure that probably translated like in your
energy rants
being nonsensical and energy. Yeah, I'm completely hungover.
That's okay. You know, it's okay. Like it actually is helpful to me because right. I mean, I saw you flying around all week. Travis, you were flying around all week, and then you know we step into the podcast booth here, and you're it's just not translating. I don't know what it is with you right now.
Yeah,
I can't you know, from what I've seen in practice, the result is not matching up. So just you know, we're not fracturing, right? We're not fracturing, but I need the results. I need the results to be better next week. All right, before we go, real quick, this was not on the show sheet, so I'm going to throw this at you and see what happens. We talk about the Golden Girls a lot around here. Yes.
Oh yeah.
I need to know from you something that I can go watch this week from a member of the Golden Girls core cast. Let's be very clear. Core cast in some other, you know, movie or show or some of their early work or later work that I need to go watch this week. Travis, I'm going to make you start, but please give me something else that I can go watch that had those actresses, actors in it.
I mean, Golden Palace would be a very easy one. Mm-hmm. It's you can really only find it on YouTube, though. I don't think it's available anywhere else. But I would say Maude, B. Arthur's show in the 70s. Like, it's pretty phenomenal. And most of the girls show up on there. Rue McClanahan's a regular on there.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's a pretty funny show. Yeah.
All right. What else do you Josh, do you have any thoughts on other materials I could watch?
Listen, there are some classics going back in the Estelle Getty filmography. She is a minor role in the 1982 classic Tootsie. So you can watch a little Jessica Lange, a little Dustin Hoffman. And then, oh, look, it's Estelle Getty. Like, you could go watch Tootsie this week. I think that would be enjoyable for you.
I love it.
Stopper, My Mom Will Shoot.
That's what I was going to say. Yes, so I was going to say my option was going to be Estelle Getty in Stop or My Mom Will Shoot opposite the amazing Sylvester Stallone. Classic, what do you call it? Oddball pairing comedy movie, action comedy movie. So that's one. And then the other one I was going to say is, I don't know if you guys remember this or if you're old enough to remember this, but there was a TV show, I think it was in the early 80s, called Mama's Family. Do you guys remember Mama's Family? So I'm trying to exactly wrap my brain around it, but it was a lot of the people who were on the Carol Burnett show, like, saw mm-hmm. some work in the Mama's Family show. Vicki Lawrence, I think, was famously Mama. And you know, she obviously had been Mama in the Carol Burnett show, and this was a spinoff of that, and then other associated characters with that. So I would say Mama's Family, because Rue McClanahan, aka Blanche Devereaux, was on that show. Betty White, Betty White was on that show too. I just looked that up. So, man, yep. I know that.
Fun fact, when I was a younger Josh_Conrad, I thought for sure, like, no question in my head, like, it blew my mind when I found out that Vicki Lawrence in Mama's Family was not Dana Carvey wearing a wig.
I could see it. That is, I could see that. That's a doppelganger.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait, that's not, oh my gosh, it's not Dana Carvey. That's a real actress. And, like, my head spun for days.
Right. And so I'm saying this partly because so I'm watching TV with my kids, and they're watching like Toy Story, the most recent Toy Story. And then they have all these like spin-offs, these like Forky spin-offs, which are hilarious. If you haven't seen those digital shorts, those are funny as hell. But there's one that has a chair named Cheryl Burnett. Rob Rhinoceros or something. And some other actors, I think, are on that too. It's amazing. And so they were like, who's the chair? And I'm like, that's Carol Burnett. She's like a comedy legend. She's like one of the greatest comedians of all time. So I'm like, so my goal over the next couple of weeks is, like, I need to get my kids to watch the Carol Burnett show. So we're going to start sliding that in a little bit into the streaming audience here with the children. But anyway, yes. So, and that started me thinking about Mama's Family. That's what got me thinking about Mama's Family. This whole question. Any other great diamonds in the rough from the audience? Maude is a great one, though. That is really good.
B. Arthur showed up on an episode of Futurama. I think it was actually her last role.
Oh, wow.
She plays a female computer that is leader of a Amazon community that they crash land into.
Amazon, like female warriors, not Amazon, the delivery service, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Okay. And she ends up falling in love with Bender. It's a pretty hilarious episode, to be honest.
Nice. I'll have to go find that. All right. Anything else before we go, gentlemen? Any last bits of wisdom we need to impart to each other or our four listeners?
I'm sorry about y'all's Yankees.
All right. That's how it goes. You know, we'll
not good.
We'll just
We immediately switched over. I mean, 5 minutes after the game, I think I tweeted, "Let's go Rays," because no one can root for these Astros. And so, man, if it's your Dodgers, Trav, if it's Dick Vitale's Tampa Bay Rays, whoever it is that takes down the Astros will have my undying support.
I almost want to see my Dodgers face them again, just so I can see them beat the ever loving crap out of them.
Vindicate them without their trash.
Now you have Mookie Betts. Mm-hmm.
It's true. Yep. It's true.
That's what I invested my jersey money on in this year instead of buying my Mookie Betts jersey.
Good man.
Smart.
Good man. All right. We will be back after next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be sure to rate and review the Play Like a Jet feed. Go retweet all the stuff that the Play Like a Jet folks are doing on Twitter. Be sure to unfollow New York Jets and just set up auto tweets at Woody Johnson all the time so that he's sitting in meetings in the United Kingdom, just having his phone blow up as he's trying to, whatever, barter, figure out the price of chicken exports or whatever he's doing. Please, let's get on this. Let's get this guy gone. And let's not bring in Corn Ferry. Let's bring in Milton Conrad. Let's bring in Milton Conrad to get our new head coach. What do you say?
Isn't Corn Ferry spelled with a K, like the band?
It is, like the band. Yeah, just like the band. I think. Yeah, I think the lead singer is. I think he's a managing director.
Jonathan Davis. Yeah. I'm blaming him. I'm blaming him for Isaac.
All right, everybody, have a great week. Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
See, I'm gonna drink some Rumple Mints. Try to get over this hangover.